So I've read that story a number of times, and what always amazes me is that when you stop and when you slow down and really read and look into it instead of a quick read over, there's a lot going on in these passages in the Word of God. And that's why I absolutely enjoy these sermons that we've been going through. I get a chance to slow down and go through them and to really study these passages. Two Sundays ago, we looked at Zechariah's interaction with the angel Gabriel. Last week, we looked at Mary's interaction with Gabriel. And today, we're looking at Joseph. And very little is known about Joseph, that he was Mary's husband and Jesus, his adopted or foster dad kind of a thing. The Bible mentions him a few times when Jesus was a baby and one time when Jesus was 12 years old at the temple scene. And because there is no mention of him during Jesus' ministry, it's thought that by that time he had already passed away. But in the scenes where he's mentioned, his response to God is obedience. And it starts with an amazing scene with another angel, but this time an angel in a dream, that God sent this angel to Joseph to give him a message in a dream. So before we dig into that, let's pray together and get our hearts and our minds a little bit more focused here and ready for the Lord. Lord, we want to understand your word. We can't do it on our own, but we can make some effort. And Lord, we want to make effort. We are willing to hear what you're saying through your word, because we want you to put your truth in us. We want our minds renewed according to your word. We want our faith in you based on your revealed word to us. Father, please do that this morning, now, in this time, as we're going through these few verses. Do that, Lord. Open our eyes to your truth. Connect things for us. Let us hear from you in your word. We ask this with dependence on you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we looked into we looked at Mary last week being betrothed to Joseph. There was a legal and binding arrangement between families, with even some money changing hands in the form of a bride's dowry. There would be a betrothal. That's a funny word for me again, but there's a betrothal ceremony followed by a marriage ceremony within a year. And that in-between time, in between those two ceremonies, was used by the groom to go get the house ready to bring home his bride. Mary became pregnant by the work of the Holy Spirit in that between time, in between those two ceremonies. And of course, that's also the time that Joseph found out that she was pregnant. Not sure if Mary told him or her tummy showed or he found out some other way. But Joseph found out that she was pregnant. And that must have been devastating for him. Mary was betrothed to him. He didn't have sex with her, yet she's pregnant. What else is he to think other than Mary was unfaithful? She's carrying another man's baby. If he would just go ahead and marry her, that would be admitting that he broke the law of God and had sex with her before the marriage ceremony, that the baby was his. But he didn't have premarital sex. The baby wasn't his. So he was not going to marry her. He decided to divorce her. And in verse 19, we find that Joseph is a decent guy. Being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, he resolved to divorce her quietly. He's just. So he's wanting to do what is right, which is not living a lie and perhaps separating himself from this adulteress. But he's not willing to turn her into a public spectacle, shaming her and disgracing her. So his plan was just to quietly break the betrothment, which the law allowed in Numbers chapter 5, which would release Mary and himself from each other from the marriage agreement. So this is the kind of guy that Joseph was. Kind, caring, not revengeful, not bitter, and wanting to obey God and his law. But God didn't want Joseph to divorce Mary. So God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream, verse 20 to 21, and the angel explained to Joseph what was going on with Mary's pregnancy. The angel addressed Joseph as Son of David, which is a reference, we know is a reference to Joseph's lineage tracing all the way back to King David. Doing this probably made Joseph wonder, why so formal? Something big is going on here. Something big's coming. The angel told Joseph not to fear taking Mary as his wife, which indicates that Joseph had already made up his mind to divorce her. But the content of the angel's words was basically, Joseph, don't be scared that taking her is the wrong thing to do. Don't fear people's reaction to the sight of you and Mary together and her being pregnant. Don't think that you're marrying an unfaithful woman. Don't fear taking Mary as your wife. The angel explained that the baby in Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. As with Mary, now with Joseph, an angel is proclaiming that Jesus is from God, not from man. Jesus isn't some guy who became divine or became a special guy from the start, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is from God. Like Mary, Joseph is told what to name the baby. But unlike Mary, Joseph is told the reason for the name. Verse 21, for he will save his people from their sin. Salvation from sin. Not saving them from some foreign political power like a majority of the religious leaders believed the Messiah would do, but rather salvation from sin. The name Jesus is the Greek form of the name Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh saves. God saves. Jesus' name, which also means Joshua, is not in reference to the Joshuas of the Old Testament. Those Joshuas testified and brought God's victory or freedom from dominant political forces. This Joshua, this Jesus, is in line with prophetic passages of Yahweh, like Psalm 130, verse 8, which reads, and he, Yahweh, will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So this Jesus is God saving his people from their sin. The primary purpose of the Messiah, Jesus, is saving people from their sin, not testifying to God's salvation, not short-sighted having to do with political powers, but Jesus is God's salvation. He is God saves, Yahweh, because he is God. He is saving his people from their sin. That's Jesus. That's who this baby is. It says his people. Well, who is that? Who are his people? This refers to Israel, Jewish people. But as the book of Matthew goes on to reveal in places like chapter 8, verse 11, Gentiles are included in his people. So his people includes people from every ethnicity. Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 5 makes this broad scope of his salvation very clear. This is what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. God had his claim on us before he created the world, and Jesus came to redeem us from our sins. We were chosen to be his people before the foundation of the world was created, and when the incarnation happened, Jesus came to redeem his people, whom he chose before the foundation of the world. The Messiah's people are beyond Israel. Jesus came to save his people from sin. What's pretty wild when you look at this passage, some scholars believe that the angel's words start in verse 20 and carry on through to the end of verse 23. This is believed because in Matthew chapter 21 and chapter 26, Matthew speaks the same way, records the events the same way when he's talking about fulfilling prophecy. This took place. All this has taken place to fulfill what the prophets said. It's the same style and language and sentence structure flowing as one pronouncement from one person. So that being so, the angel, being God's messenger, identifies this Jesus who will save people from their sin as God who dwells with his people. Verse 23, the Isaiah 7 verse 14 quote comes from the angel. Okay? So that quote, Isaiah 7 verse 14, is believed to come from the angel, a message from God through the angel to Joseph. And here's what Isaiah 7 verse 14 says. The virgin shall have a boy, and his name will be God with us. So the angel is saying that Mary is that virgin and Jesus is that baby prophesied long ago, identified as God with us. That's fantastic. This is a very exciting stuff. I can tell that you're with me on this. That Isaiah 7 chapter, the context is also very interesting. So here we have King Ahaz from Judah. Okay, so King Ahaz from Judah, he was wicked. And the kings of Syria and Israel were coming for Judah to destroy them. King Ahaz of Judah thought the Davidic line, King David's lineage of kings, would be destroyed by these guys. So in trying to preserve the Davidic line, he seeks help from a different king, a king of Assyria. So he goes to the king of Assyria, asking him to help him against these two kings. So God sends the prophet Isaiah to King Ahaz of Judah to tell him that God would protect the lineage of King David. And as a sign that this would take place, when the prophet Isaiah's son reaches the toddler age, these two kings coming to destroy Judah, the king of Syria and Israel, they would be dead. They'd be gone. And sure enough, before Isaiah's son was three, those two kings were dead. But there was another sign that God would give, ensuring that the Davidic lineage would not die. And it would be an even greater birth. The virgin would give birth to God incarnate. God would dwell among his people, flesh and blood incarnation, not just his presence represented by the tabernacle and by the temple, but rather the virgin shall have a boy and his name will be God with us. So the angel with Joseph, he is telling Joseph that Mary's baby is God in the flesh, God with us. It's not that Jesus is bringing God's presence. This angel is saying Jesus is God. He is Emmanuel. In the most literal sense, Jesus is God with us. Matthew doesn't shy away from making these kind of direct links as well. In Matthew 3, verse 3, he clearly links Jesus as being the Lord whom John the Baptist is preparing the way. Jesus is Yahweh, God saves. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the Savior from sin. Jesus is God. Jesus is. This is another huge message about God and his salvation plan. Zechariah and Mary received huge messages about their babies, and here Joseph receives another massive message about who Mary's baby actually is and what he will be doing. This must have been a huge relief for Joseph, and a scary one, and amazing and joyful as well, because Mary didn't cheat on him. He can marry her. Plus, he would be giving care to God the Son. God the Son, as a baby, entrusted to Joseph. But Joseph is a godly, committed, and faithful man. And just look at his awesome response to this message from God through this angel. Look at this. He awoke from the sleep and did what God said through the angel. He took Mary as his wife. The marriage ceremony happened, but they didn't consummate the marriage until Jesus was born, ensuring that Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus. Joseph quickly did what God said. Remember Zechariah? He didn't believe the angel. Mary believed and asked how God was going to do it. Joseph, he just went and did what God wanted. He was given info by God in a dream, and then just went with obedience. Holy Spirit conceived, baby boy, he will save people from their sin, fulfillment of prophecy, Emmanuel, Mary didn't commit adultery, move ahead with the marriage. Okay. Joseph wasn't a dumb guy. He was going to divorce Mary quietly because he knew how she would be treated when people believed she was an adulteress. So we can be sure that he knew what it would look like for him when he married Mary. People would think he got Mary pregnant before they were married. But he went ahead with obedience to God, believing God regardless of the shame or hardship or gossip that would come up. This is how Joseph responded, with obedience. But not only in this situation, in Matthew 2, verse 13 to 15, after Jesus was born, God told Joseph to leave Bethlehem and go to Egypt because Herod was going to kill babies in Bethlehem. So Joseph grabbed his family and left. In Matthew 2, verse 19 to 23, God told Joseph to leave Egypt, go to Nazareth, and Joseph grabbed his family and left. Quick obedience to God's word. And there, that is something that is worth taking note of. Joseph was quick to obey. Even though obedience to God's plan was a cause for shame for Joseph and for Mary, cultural shame and talk would have gone on. You know, oh right, the Lord made you pregnant. Oh, nice one. But he was obedient to the Lord quickly. Counting the costs, but going for it. All the while being sustained and guided by the Lord. Wow. Like, church, obedience to God does not always feel good or it's not always problem-free. But the Lord is faithful and trustworthy. Thinking about obedience, our obedience to the Lord, in light of Joseph's obedience to the Lord, we should be thinking about that. How are we obedient? Are we quick to be obedient and trusting the Lord and going for it? Or are we pulled back a bit like Zechariah and just kind of like, wait a minute, I don't believe this. Think about your obedience to the Lord. That's the same Lord as involved here in Joseph's life. That's the same Lord that we worship today. Consider your obedience to the Lord. Something more amazing than Joseph's obedience is the reason that God the Son came in the incarnation. Jesus came to save people from their sin. And this is something that I've brought up over and over, and hopefully I continue to bring it up hundreds and hundreds of more times. Salvation from sin was Jesus' primary purpose. All this ignoring sin, not mentioning sin in the Christian culture, and calling it mistakes, this promotion of not making people feel guilty of sin, speak the gospel but don't mention sin, talk about Jesus wanting to give you your best life now. No. Jesus came to save his people from their sin. That's why he came. Jesus, Joshua, Yahweh saves. Saves from what? From the wrath of the holy God due every sinner. Every sinner has earned it. He came to save us from that. Oh, the world is so bad. Yeah, because of sin. Oh, why is there so much evil in me and in the world? Because of sin. Oh, why can't I and other people just get along? Because of sin. Oh, why is life so hard? Because of sin. Oh, in the end, everyone will be okay with God and be in heaven forever. No, because of sin. Before Jesus is born, his primary reason for coming is announced by an angel sent from God that he has come to save his people from sin. If you're serious about the Savior, Jesus, about salvation, about the gospel, you better take sin seriously and not ignore it or downplay it. As we've seen, the scriptures are making the argument for and presenting Jesus as God in the flesh, the incarnation, God with us, Yahweh saves, here is salvation. It's God, God the Son, Jesus Christ. If he came and has taken sin that seriously, and he came and offered himself as a sacrifice for our sin and living the life we were to live, we better take sin seriously. We better not remove sin from our presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're just going around saying, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, oh, I just gave the gospel. No, you didn't. You did not. Jesus came, God the Son was sent to save people from sin. And if you're not making that link of the salvation from our sin through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you're not giving the gospel. You're falling short. Don't fall short. Don't fall short. That God would come and save us is unbelievable. We are barely scratching the surface on how incredible that is. The Holy Lord, the Holy God, coming and saving us who have embraced sin, pushed him aside and said, forget you, I am my own God, I'm doing my own thing. He came to save us. Oh. Hallelujah is right. Thank you, Lord. Church, Yahweh saves. Jesus will save his people from sin. The virgin shall have a boy, and his name will be God with us. God will dwell amongst his people. Flesh and blood incarnation. The virgin conceived Emmanuel was born, and his virgin birth and deity was confirmed by his perfect holy life and the miracles that he did. And of course, his resurrection from the dead. Church, that is who Christmas is about. And only he is worth celebrating. So this Christmas season, fight for God's truth. Bring your mind back to God's word, the truth. We are getting inundated with all kinds of flyers and consumerism, and we fall for it, that's what Christmas is. That's not what Christmas is. It's what Christmas is for the world. Let's give them that for sure. That is what Christmas is for the world. But those who are found in Christ, that are new creations, that are adopted into God's family, we hijack Christmas and say it's all about Emmanuel, God with us, coming to save his people from their sin. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, that is what we want. We want to be in the truth. We want to not drift and be suckered into what the world is offering, which is always death. Father, help us to cling on to your truth, to be in your word often, over and over again, so that we're corrected and that we're formed, our minds are being renewed and our hearts are being formed by your truth. Lord, I ask that you would bless us incredibly with understanding this Christmas, with your peace, with your comfort, with your joy in who you are and who we are standing before you in Christ. Oh, Lord, let that rip through our hearts and our minds and be a big, big deal this Christmas, and that it would last through this whole year to next Christmas and then even greater next Christmas. Oh, Lord, come, please do your work to us. Thank you for sending the Son to come and take our punishment and live the life we were to live. Thank you for the gift of repentance and salvation. Thank you for saving us. We give you the credit and are extremely grateful to you. And we come to you and say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.